Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Stephanie Oriana. It's Friday, July 18th. Coming up, meteorologists are expressing concerns about how the federal budget proposal could impact weather forecasting. That's story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Federal policy changes are making some local school boards anxious. The Trump administration has attempted to block some school funding for Illinois and other states. And a Supreme Court ruling this week allows the administration to cut the Department of Education's workforce. Christopher Easton is a new Danville District 118 school board member. At a meeting earlier this week, he asked administrators whether the changes would force them to raise local property taxes.
I fear that you're going to make an ask of us in this coming year of more than 5% to make up for all that's happening with the Department of Education on the federal level, the loss of income from the state on transportation.
The Danville superintendent says he expects the state to reimburse transportation costs at a lower rate than last year. The district's finance director says she would limit any tax increases to earn support from school board members. Decatur is also being affected by federal's changes. Administrators expect one-third of the district's new international teachers to arrive after the school year begins. That's because Secretary of State Marco Rubio temporarily paused new visa interviews in June. The district says it plans to hire long-term substitute teachers while the latecomers are arriving. There will be a total of 43 international teachers. Environmentalists say President Trump's tax and spending package could harm Illinois' goals for renewable energy. The Big Beautiful Bill that Republicans passed this month scales back federal incentives for wind and solar energy projects. It also supports more fossil fuel production. Jennifer Walling is executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council. She tells a 21st show she expects communities will race to complete their clean energy projects before the federal tax credits are phased out.
My goal going forward is how quickly can we get renewable energy deployed and out the door? How can we couple it with storage? We know our marching orders for Illinois.
Officials in Illinois have committed to having 40% of the state's energy come from renewables by 2030. The state's goal is to run 100% on clean energy by 2050. The Illinois Department of Corrections is moving on from its private healthcare provider that has a history of supplying substandard care to incarcerated people. In recent memos sent to staff and people in custody, the department says negotiations with Wexford Health Sources have stalled. The department inked an emergency contract with a new company, Centurion Health, which has also faced criticism in other states. Attorney Harold Hirschman represents people in Illinois prisons.
I just hope that it's not a disaster where people don't get the care they're entitled to because their problems fall through the cracks of the changeover.
The Department of Corrections says it created a transition oversight committee and it is, quote, actively working to minimize disruptions. Attorneys say more than 900 survivors have now come forward alleging they suffered child sexual abuse at juvenile detention centers in Illinois. A new batch of complaints were filed in court this week. One survivor who goes by her first name, Kate Lynn, spoke at a press conference on Wednesday about an alleged incident at a youth center in Warrenville, where she was a teenager. She says staff there entered her cell and took off her clothes. Then she says a male staff member sat on her naked body and touched her inappropriately.
My life has been severely impacted by the trauma I experienced at the hands of these state employees at IYC Warrenville.
In a statement, the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice says it cannot comment on active litigation, but that it has policies in place to ensure the safety of youth. Still to come, meteorologists are expressing concerns about how the federal budget proposal could impact weather forecasting. That story coming up next on 217 Today. But first, your forecast. And now a look at your forecast. According to the National Weather Service for today, Friday this morning, mostly sunny with 85 degrees with calm wind in the afternoon. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight, partly cloudy at 70 degrees, and calm wind. Tomorrow on Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day and in the afternoon, partly sunny with 88 degrees and a gentle breeze. Saturday night, a chance of thunderstorms and showers, mostly cloudy with 72 degrees and a gentle breeze. Sunday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with 85 degrees and a gentle breeze. Sunday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with 69 degrees and a gentle breeze.
Next time on The 21st Show, our Friday Week in Review, starting in Bloomington Normal, where Illinois State University is planning to directly pay its student athletes. Then, in politics, we'll check in on the cascade of candidates for Congress set off by Senator Dick Durbin's decision not to seek re-election. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Stephanie Orellana. Earlier this year, retirements and federal hiring freezing raised concerns about the future of weather forecasting. Now, next year's federal budget proposal for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is amplifying those concerns. The proposal includes cuts to several key programs and projects. Charlie Schlinker reports from Central Illinois.
The proposed budget released earlier this month eliminates all funding for climate, weather, and ocean laboratories and cooperative institutes. It also does not fund regional climate data and information and climate competitive research, just to name a few of the cuts. Of the programs it keeps, the plan shuffles some into new agency homes. The U.S. Weather Research Program and Tornado Severe Storm Research and Phased Array Radar, for example, go from NOAA to the National Weather Service. Forecasters say they're worried about these things. WMBD-TV chief meteorologist Chris Yates says the personnel reductions so far have not had a big impact. For the most part, Yates says the forecasting models are still performing well.
We have lost some observation data out west, mainly some weather balloon data. So far, I haven't seen a huge reduction in skill as a result of that, but that is a concern for many of us in the industry.
Yates says weather balloons not launched have relevance for central Illinois.
There are a few sites, particularly near the Rockies, that are crucial for kind of painting a picture when areas of low pressure reemerge on the eastern slopes of the Rocky Mountains. So not having that could eventually lead to some problems. Weather balloons give us our most complete picture of the entire atmosphere from the surface all the way up through the beginning parts of the stratosphere.
Yates says there are ways to compensate for the loss of weather balloon data with satellite scans, but Yates and WEEK-TV chief meteorologist Chuck Collins both say if you don't have good and plentiful data going into the forecasting models, what comes out will not be as robust and detailed as you might wish.
The Weather Service was understaffed to begin with, and now positions aren't being filled. There are meteorologists in, you know, multi-day severe weather events. They're working double shifts, you know, several days a week. So it's an overall big problem.
It's more than just the weather event itself, Colin says. It's the aftermath. He says chances are those same people would have to go out after the storms and survey damage for days.
There's a lot of tired meteorologists out there.
Colin says you can compensate some by having staff at locations that are not having severe weather sub in remotely. But lack of staff drags down the overall resiliency of the service. For instance, the radar technician is gone at the National Weather Service station in Lincoln. If the radar goes down, somebody has to drive from Indianapolis or Chicago to get it back up. That's what's happened so far. What's coming could be very different. The University of Illinois climate scientist Jeff Frame studies severe thunderstorms, things like supercells. Frame says the new budget for NOAA abolishes a lot of stuff. Even where there are reductions but not eliminations, he says the document can be deceptive. Case in point, the National Severe Storms Laboratory is one of the research labs of NOAA. That's cut entirely. One of the products the lab is developing is called the Worn-On Forecast System. That's a computer system that uses an ensemble of computer forecasts that also uses current weather data. Frame says the National Weather Service uses Worn-On to bridge the gap between a watch and a warning.
And say, well, we got a storm coming, maybe it's 2 hours away, is it going to strengthen, is it going to weaken, what are we going to do? Worn-On Forecast is a real key to that.
The budget proposal says some of the severe storms and tornado research is supposed to go to the National Weather Service. Frame says the budget request actually says Worn-On will be discontinued and reevaluated later.
That's great. That means that everyone who's working on that system now and who built it is going to go away, and then you're going to try to restart it with all those people gone, and that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
The National Severe Storms Lab also does social science research on tornadoes and severe storms. For instance, the recent Texas flooding had excellent warnings. The Weather Service did its job. But Frame says if the warnings aren't acted on or are misinterpreted, it doesn't help anyone. He says the lab does valuable research on that kind of gap. The new NOAA budget allocation for maintenance is growing, not falling. But WEEK's Chuck Collins says there are additions to current technology that should increase as well.
Wind farms actually can interfere with the radar, and they have so many wind farms, especially Logan and McLean counties. There's talk the Weather Service here locally may need another radar somewhere maybe in eastern Illinois to cover some of the overlap because we're getting some interference.
That may not happen under the new plan. Here's another example of the value of tech investment and of research. 15 years ago, the National Severe Storms Lab upgraded all the Doppler radars in the country. Climate scientist Jeff Frame says that allowed meteorologists to say something about the shape of what's scattering the radar beam in the atmosphere.
We're able to actually sense tornado debris now with our radars, and TV weathercasters as well can show this product on air and saying, here's the debris, now get in your basement, don't stand out on the porch looking for it.
And Frame says next generation radar is at risk. The current Doppler radar technology is about 40 years old.
What they do is they're able to scan storms much, much faster. Whereas the current radars, they have to, the beam goes around in a circle, and then it goes up to the next elevation, goes around in a circle. And the whole process of scanning a storm, if the radar works its fastest and hardest, still could take something like 5 minutes. And 5 minutes is, you know, kind of an eternity in terms of a tornado.
In comparison, the average lifespan of a tornado is less than 10 minutes. Frame says they're developing what's called phased array radar to succeed it, and the new budget puts funding for implementation at risk. A special report of the American Meteorological Society notes weather information and the protection it provides life and property support the nation's economy. The Meteorological Society says the value of weather and climate information to the U.S. economy is more than $100 billion a year, 10 times the investment from taxpayers. In 1999, Hurricane Floyd came from the Bahamas and moved parallel to the east coast of Florida. It eventually made landfall in North Carolina. That storm prompted the evacuation of the barrier islands on the entire east coast of Florida. At the time, it was the largest peacetime evacuation in U.S. history, and that hurricane never hit Florida. Hurricane Dorian in 2019 took a very similar path, and they didn't evacuate. U of I's Jeff Frame says they were fine because forecasts had become more accurate. He says improving forecasts can, in one event, save millions in the economy.
People are evacuating, so they're taking off work, so they're not making money, and right, they're not paying taxes on that money, right? So it's not just the businesses and the people, but it's also the local governments that take a hit. Tourists aren't there, they're not paying sales tax.
Ending research, Frame says, gives up the potential for future refinements that could make that kind of difference. The Meteorological Society report says about a third of the U.S. economy is sensitive to weather and climate. And meteorologists Chuck Collins and Chris Yates say they too are concerned about possible issues with updates when trying to improve model accuracy down the road. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by me, Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Arjun Tucker, Katie O'Connell, and Charlie Schlenker. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Stephanie Oriana. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.